grateful for the opportunity again to focus on God's word together. Those of us that are in the room, we do have a few more people this week than previous times recording. So if we could just shout a little bit, let the people online know. Just like Pastor Ryan said, we are so looking forward to being able to be in the same room together. We appreciate your patience as we continue to figure out, you know, what this means and how we're moving forward. But it's so good to have a few more faces here on a Saturday morning as we record. As Pastor Ryan said, we're going to be finishing our series, Jesus is Not Fake News. We talked through this series. We said that Jesus is not fake news. He brings hope today. We also said that Jesus is not fake news, that he actually provides all of our needs. Jesus, he heals today, and he delivers us from our enemies. And last week, Mother's Day, we heard from Pastor Ryan. He spoke that Jesus brings comfort in the midst of our chaos. And today, we want to talk about Jesus as our leader. Jesus is not fake news. He wants to lead us today. He wants to bring us out of the mess that we find ourselves in. So if you came today looking for hope or for peace or for purpose in your life, there's good news. Today, at the end of the message, you'll have an opportunity to respond to the good news that Jesus, he is our leader, and he can take you out of your mess. So let's look today at Luke chapter 19. We're going to be in verses 1 through 10 today. Some of you may be familiar with the story, but we're going to look at the story of Zacchaeus. As I was sitting today during worship, I was reminded of the song I used to sing in Sunday school about Zacchaeus being a wee little man going up in the sycamore tree. So let's look today at Luke chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Let's look at this life of Zacchaeus and see how Jesus led him out of his mess. Luke chapter 19, verse 1, and it reads this way. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be with a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people of their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Let's pray this morning. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity again to open your word and to receive from you. God, I pray that all of our eyes and our hearts would be open to receive these words from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus had a reputation during the time that he was here on earth of doing things differently. He was expected by the religious leaders of the day, those that had things in order, he was expected to uphold things the way that they've always been. Namely, the strict separation between those that kept the law and those who broke the law. And the story of Zacchaeus is definitely a classic story of a low-life lawbreaker who took advantage of others in order to receive the benefit himself. I had to ask a question, and just like the people that were around grumbling and complaining that Jesus would go and associate with Zacchaeus, I had to ask what reason did Jesus have in associating with Zacchaeus? He was supposed to be coming to establish a law, was going to come and establish, as Noah's saying, he was supposed to be the Messiah, come and save everything. But Jesus had a purpose. Jesus had a purpose to seek and save the lost, to lead people out of their sinness. And that's why when he saw Zacchaeus up in a tree and he knew the background of who he was, he invited himself into his mess. He went and had dinner, had a meal, over to the house. I don't know about you, but I sometimes like keeping my house a little private. I like, you know, when I only invite certain people into my home because, you know, sometimes they'll see the scratch on the wall and maybe the little misplaced thing in the corner. Man, when we come into people's homes, specifically at Jesus' time here, coming into somebody's home, that was an intimate time. That was a time of like true friendship and fellowship. But Jesus had a purpose. He accomplished his purpose differently than any other leader had. And Jesus was one that didn't come with an iron fist to hold over somebody, but he came and he offered himself. Zacchaeus had established his influence exactly opposite of that. He took and he established his influence by taking advantage of people, by punishing others in order to win and to gain all of his wealth. But Jesus, he comes as a leader fully aware of who he is and what he has. Jesus has everything. He lacks nothing. If you can imagine this, Jesus was sitting in the throne room with God himself, totally complete, totally with everything under his control, and he came to serve. I love the Message way of describing this in John. It says that he came and he moved into the neighborhood. He got real. He came into our mess. Jesus comes fully aware of who he is, and he invites us to receive from him. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 30 through 30, Jesus says a prayer. And in this prayer, it really shows his heart as a leader. Again, what was he, or how was he going to establish his kingdom? How was he going to establish his leadership in the world? And this is what it describes here in Matthew 11, verse 28. It says this: Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." And Jesus is a leader that extends an invitation for us to take from him. I know this analogy of a yoke maybe is beyond our modern thinking, but a yoke was something that they were used to train calves and train animals on how to go and how to work the fields. And so Jesus says, "Come to me, the yoke that I give, the way that I teach you how to live, the way that I will lead you out is together in this. And it's going to be light and it's going to be easy for you to follow me." See, Jesus wasn't concerned with being taken advantage of. Jesus came in and he offered all that he is to us. He doesn't show us a path and expect us to do it on our own. He yokes himself with us. He carries us along. He walks with us and he travels the path together. Jesus didn't establish his leadership with an iron fist, but with an open hand. This is something that I'm learning to do as a father, and sometime in my different supervising roles, I had an opportunity to lead in a kitchen. If you're familiar with the local kitchen, it's called a Curry in the Box. Has the best Thai food in the Madison area, just to let you know. But the Curry in the Box, I was there and had opportunities to lead people. And there's a couple different ways that you have to lead, especially when it comes to raising your own children, right? We can either say it with an iron fist and lord it over them, our authority that we have in our house, Actually, sometimes that's needed. But anyway, right, we can offer them the right way they can go. Because the lesson that you learn as a leader is I can't force anybody to do what ought to be done. Amen. Has anybody learned that lesson yet? It's a hard thing, because you, as a leader, sometimes you can see the path that they're supposed to go on. You can see the results of the direction that they're going, but yet I can't force them to go that direction. Jesus was an expert at this. He showed the way to live. He showed what to do. And he doesn't lord it over him, though he did come to establish the way, and there was a right way to go. He offered it to them and allowed them to receive it. This morning, I have opportunity to have my son here with me. So I want to invite Denver up, and I want to do a little demonstration this morning. So come on up, Denver. He's got a little prop to use too. It'll be just a second. We're going to get ready. You're not excited about this at all, huh? Okay, all right. So Denver's here with us this morning, and let's put the blindfold on. Can you do that? One moment. Okay. Not a problem. Props sometimes have a mind of their own. Got it. I don't think you can do these kind of things. All right. We're gonna go back here. And stand right over here, buddy. Okay. All right. You stand right up on there. Perfect. Get it tighter. How many fingers am I holding up?
I don't know.
Oh, that's good. That means the blindfold is working. All right. And so I told Denver he's going to stay there for a moment. And I told him that he's going to have to try to follow my voice, but he's going to have a blindfold on. He can't see anything. You got it tight?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and so let's see how well Denver does following where his dad's voice is. All the musicians are a little worried they've got instruments around here. Don't worry. All right, Denver, go ahead and take a small step forward. Oh. Take two more steps forward. Right, go to the left 5 steps. All right, turn to your right. Go forward just an inch. All right, go to the left. 3 more steps. There's cords over there. Go 3 more steps. All right, now turn to your right. Walk forward.
Walk forward.
Oh, stop. Lift your right leg up. All right, now step forward. All right, now go to your right 3 steps. Stop. Lift your foot up. All right, lock 3 steps forward. Look at that. Man, Denver's pretty awesome even with the blindfold on. I appreciate that. All right. Mama, could you come up? This is another demonstration. Go ahead, Denver, you can take off your blindfold. Look, you made it through all of the instruments. Pretty sweet. All right, if you guys could both go stand up on the step where you were, Denver. You know, Denver was pretty good blindfolded, listen to instructions. I was really impressed. I definitely thought he might trip on something. But sometimes in life, right, life is like that. We're going with a blindfold, trying to manage a minefield, going in between. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I mess up and I trip up. And Denver made it down the step. I thought he was going to fall on his face. He did a good job. So we could give a hand clap to Denver making it with a blindfold on. But this isn't how Jesus leads us. He doesn't just try to give us random instructions. I was going to say, Denver, go for it by yourself, but I noticed all the instruments today, so I thought I would guide him with my voice. Jesus doesn't lead us just with a blind direction. Go on your own. Try to manage it on your own. Because guess what? When I do it on my own, I trip up. I mess up. But no, this is actually what happens. Rachel, can you take Denver by the hand? And Denver, we're going to keep the blindfold off for this one. Because what Jesus does is he takes the blinders off. He gives us eyesight to see. And this is what he does. He actually takes us by the hand. And Rachel, could you go ahead and lead him? And take him over this way. And take him around the instruments. And he gives him full sight. And he takes him by the hand. And go ahead. You guys can go ahead and have a seat. You're awesome. I love my family. You guys are good. And what Jesus does is he takes us by the hand and he leads us and he guides us out of our mess. See, we find this in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, in the Message. It says it this way: it's better to think this one through from the beginning. God is kind, but he's not soft. In kindness, he takes us firmly by the hand, and he leads us into radical life change. So Jesus isn't just a soft leader. He doesn't just say, hey, here's who I am, take advantage of me. Though he's willing that we take advantage of him, he's inviting us to take of himself. No, Jesus has established himself as the way, as the truth, as the life, as the direction that we should go. And he's come and established right living, but he offers us his hand to guide us out of our sin mess. He jumps right into who we are. He jumps into our mess and he leads us out. The story of Zacchaeus is significant for this reason. Jesus goes into his home. He hangs out with him for a meal. And you better believe, just as the passage said, you know, the people were grumbling. Man, this is a notorious sinner. He had a reputation for not being a good guy, for taking advantage, for seeking his own desires. But Jesus said, no, I see you, Zacchaeus. I'm going to come into your home, and I'm going to lead you out of the mess that you find yourself in. See, Jesus goes to his home, he hangs out, and I want to encourage you in this moment, as we're talking about Zacchaeus' mess, that there is no mess too great for Jesus to come in and to lead you out. There's no method. There's no sin. I've been talking with some friends recently and finding out the mess that they find themselves in. And they thought, man, God can never forgive me. God can never rescue me. I've gone too far. I've done too much. The truth this morning, the truth from this story, the truth is that Jesus is a leader. And there is no mess that he can't handle. There's no situation that you find yourself in that Jesus is not willing to come into your home, come in right where you are, and to lead you out. That's the encouragement that we can find in Zacchaeus. See, in Luke chapter 19, it doesn't really record the words that Jesus used with Zacchaeus. It kind of just gives a little bit of a synopsis that people were upset that he was there. They're grumbling about it. And then all of a sudden, on the opposite side, Zacchaeus responds in a radical, life-changing way. But I'm convinced in that moment that Jesus didn't bash Zacchaeus with his word. He didn't come with an iron fist and yell at him and correct him in all his ways. No, because if we see the story of the Bible, the enemy is the one that condemns. The enemy is the one that destroys. The enemy tries to convince us that we're not good enough, that God can never rescue us, that he's not a good leader, that his ways aren't good and true. No, Jesus comes, and his purpose is to bring life, to bring hope, to bring peace, or as Matthew 11 recorded, to bring rest for your souls. We're not treated as a lawbreaker. We're not treated as a disgusting thing. No, but we're treated as somebody who needs a leader. Jesus, in other opportunities in Scripture, when he was interacting with people that have been found breaking the law, one was a woman that had been found sleeping around with somebody else, and the religious people, they brought him before Jesus. They were ready to stone her because they knew that's what the lawbreaker deserves. What does Jesus say in that moment? He says, if anybody else can be found without sin, they could cast the first stone. But when he speaks to the woman, he knew that she needed a leader, and he spoke these words, go and sin no more. Jesus' voice, it doesn't condemn us, it doesn't break us down, but it does lead us out of our sin, out of our mess. The results of Jesus' dinner with Zacchaeus was life changed. It was recorded that he said, I will give half of all that I own to the poor, and I will repay four times as much to those that I stole taxes from. And he did this with great excitement and joy. And it doesn't sound like a leader that came in bashing Zacchaeus, destroying his way of life, and telling him he's no good. No, it's a recording of a story that Jesus came in ready to lead him, filling him with hope, filling him with joy, and transforming his life. The results of receiving Jesus as leader of your life is excitement, joy, change, and for sure, rest for your soul. Jesus wants to lead you. Our responsibility is being willing to take his hand and allow him to lead us out. He won't force his leadership on us, but if you're willing, he will lead your life. Let's pray this morning. Jesus, we thank you that you are a great leader. That you're willing to get down into our mess, not to leave us there, but to give us hope, to lead us out, to allow us to live a life of rest for our soul. God, I pray that you would help each one of us to be willing to take your hand so that you can lead our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. At the beginning of our gathering this morning, I said that if you came looking for hope or peace or purpose for your life, that there's good news. Jesus has come to lead your life. He's not like any earthly leader that tries to take advantage or to use us for his own gain. No, he has everything established, and he offers to us a new way of life, rest for our souls. So if you've been wandering through life on your own, and it's led you to a spot that you never wanted to go, and you've tripped up, you found, man, this isn't the dream that I had for myself. I want to invite you in this moment to make the decision today to receive Jesus as the leader of your life. He will bring you direction. He'll bring you purpose. He will bring you peace and rest for your soul. The Bible teaches us that we must believe that Jesus is real and to make a decision that Jesus would lead our life. And when we do that, it says that we will be saved. We'll be rescued. We'll be led out of the mess of sin we find ourselves in. So to start this journey, let's talk to God together. Let's ask Him to forgive us. Commit to following His leadership and ask for help on this new journey that He desires to take us on. Focus Church, we don't pray alone, so let's pray together this morning. Dear Jesus, I believe You are who You say You are. Forgive me from all my wrongdoings. Help me to follow You as leader. In Jesus' name, amen.